is the interstate highway system. This is the National Defense Highway System. And it's fallen apart. One of these evenings when we talk to our good friend Alan, the over-the-road truck driver, I'm going to ask him about America's highway system. Because he sees it day in and day out. And he knows what it's like. The people that are on the roads can tell you that the roads are not in good shape. And the roads aren't in good shape because we're busy bombing the snot out of Iraq. And because we're busy doing everything but attending to the people's business. Because, after all, public highways are socialized highways, aren't they? This is sickening. This is just sickening. And the man that George Bush has renamed Governor, what was it? Pallante, said that these were minor deficiencies. He said it was last inspected both in 2005 and 2006. There were no structural deficiencies identified, according to the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Now, as far as how the bridge collapsed, one expert said, according to this report, "I'm totally puzzled as to why both ends of the bridge would come down all at once. When my colleague tested it, it was very low stress." That's Ted Galambos from the University of Minnesota. He said, "I don't think it was overload, so it could have been either some fatigue, failure, or some sudden buckling that would cause the failure." Oh, Lord, I hope we don't have a Minnesota bridge truth movement that arises out of this. But I don't know. This is broken America. This is America where the dog food's poisoned. This is America where you can get killed by peanut butter. This is America where you can get killed driving across a bridge or just living your life behind a levee in the Ninth Ward. This is broken America. This is busted America. This is falling apart America. This is frayed at the edges and coming apart at the seams America. And you care about it, and I care about it, and we pay our taxes, and we do what we're supposed to do. And the stuff still doesn't get fixed. Why? Why? Is it because Congress is adding too much pork to the appropriations bill? Or is it because the people who are supposed to be leading don't have their eye on the ball? Aren't paying attention to the problems, are more obsessed with made-up problems than with the real ones that confront us. I got a bunch of stories this evening, various and sundry. Katrina alone did not have to be the way it was. We will find out by the time this investigation is done that this bridge did not have to collapse, that the people who were injured, terrified, and killed in this collapse didn't have to suffer through that. There is a scene in one of my favorite books, Robert Penn Warren's All the King's Men, where they talk about a school building collapse because it was made of politics rotten brick. Well, this was a politics rotten bridge, and we have politics rotten levees. We have a politics rotten corporate food grid. And yet, the president comes out today to engage in a little bit of political theater, wrangling over, what was it? $22 billion out of a $3.9 trillion budget? Talk about fiddling while Rome burns. Heartbreaking, disgusting, and perplexing. Susan is calling from Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
snarl, 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 snarl.
Growl, and growl, growl, growl to you.
Yeah. Let me read you a small quote, very short quote.
Okay.
This is from the year 2006, and this is on the, our blog on the main page. I just put it up there.
Okay.
Our friend ELO brought it to our attention. Literally wielding a big red veto stamp to appease the no-tax crowd that remains hell-bent on a something-for-nothing relationship with government, Governor Tim, he's never going to live this down, Polenta, deep-sixed the bipartisan transportation bill. How dumb can they be, he sneered, of the lawmakers who dared to approve a tax hike to fix the state's roads. Unquote.
Wow. This is Tim Pawlenty?
Yep.
Or Tim Pawlenty? I'm completely lost now. And so he something that would have perhaps prevented this, he vetoed?
Yep.
I'm understanding that right here.
Yes, that's exactly what he did.
You know, this is the kind of thing that gets you Hamlet's father's ghost walking around your bedroom at night. It really is.
The article is up on our blog on the main page. People can go look at it and click. There's a link there from there to the rest of the article. It is rather inflammatory, and it was all written in 2006.
And, of course, because we've got people like Grover Norquist running around America saying that taxes are evil,
mm-hmm.
who put pressure on politicians. And you know what? So, there's some truth to some of this.
Yeah.
Susan, you don't need a tax increase. I don't need a tax increase. A guy who makes $15 an hour doesn't need a tax increase to pay for these things.
$10 million companies need to pay their taxes.
They need to pay some taxes.
Yeah, some taxes. They're not paying any now.
Effectively, no, they're not. And the effective tax rate on the one-tenth of 1% of America that owns, 30 or 40% of America's wealth is effectively the same as the tax rate
for you and me.
Well, that's probably true. So there was a time in this country that the income tax came in more or less concurrent with paying for World War One.
Yeah.
And there were statements made that those who got the most from government should pay the most for it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why that's crazy talk. I don't think it is.
No. And I have to tell you, okay, I live in a state with a lot of bridges.
Well, sure.
I live just outside of Portland. There's bridges all over the place here. Plus, we're in an earthquake zone. The governor of all the governors, Republican, Democrat, they don't give a rip here. Almost everything can go down the tubes, including the schools first. But the bridges come first because they know those things drop into the rivers and they're going to be held to pay.
Right, and you've got the actual example out in that region of, what was her name, Galloping Gertie?
Galloping Gertie.
Yeah. But these things, but it's please, lest we make a horrible, horrible mistake in this, Susan, we're not talking about one bridge. We're not talking about one levee. We're talking about if you sent out an army of inspectors all across the land.
It's the whole system.
It's the whole system.
Yeah, with exceptions where people have just said, okay, we're not going to pay for schools. We're going to pay to fix these bridges.
And you see, I'm not trying to be overly... yes, I am. I want to place blame where blame... And I'll play the blame game. That's what Tony Snow likes to call it. You know who's at fault for this? It's not just George Bush. It's not just congressional Republicans. It's people like Grover Norquist, who said he wanted to make the government so small you could drown it in a bathtub. Well, if government is so small that you can drown it in a bathtub, the bridge across the bathtub's going to collapse, too.
Yeah, and I got to tell you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you.
listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Okay, sending header, logging in, and it looks like everything's all right.
There you went.
You're on. Beautiful.
We're live, dude.
Hey, everybody, we're live. Let's do this again.
Hey, I got one thing to say.
Yeah.
Booger!
Booger, 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 booger. See you, man. Okay, we're going to pretend that the last 30 minutes didn't happen.
Okay.
You be quiet. I'm going to close the mic and run the intro.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 47 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. As you know, if you've been listening to the live stream, we've had some technical issues. There are several great minds, not counting my own, working to resolve this. We are somewhat as a loss. We're gaining clues, but we were somewhat at a loss to tell you why this happens at exactly 9 p.m. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. By the way, I did call our guest Julia Serrano and cancel with her. Julia was to come on at 9:30. I did not want to leave her hanging out there in case we were unable to come back on the air. So. In any case, we're not going to do the Julia interview this evening. We are, as I indicated with her, we're going to reschedule that for a later date to try to get back to some normalcy. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests, as well as to the chat room, which is active as I speak, and to the Head On Radio Network main site. You can find out about all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network. And there are links there to the main site where you can find about the other hosts. And, you know, this is not the story I was going to lead with this evening. I had no intention of leading with this story, but it arrived just prior to the show. It came from San Diego. Our friend Glenn Rivera forwarded it to me. It comes from the San Diego Gay and Lesbian Times. And I have not seen it on the main news sites that I normally go to for GLBT news, so it's fairly new to me. This story just really disturbed me, and I had not intended, as I say, to lead with this story, but I am going to go ahead and do it. The title of the story is Disneyland Terror Alert, and by Disneyland I don't mean the one in Florida; I mean the one in California, and. As you all know, Disneyland is the happiest place on Earth, much like Jeb Bush World and Disney World in Orlando, and it's a place where dreams come true. But I guarantee you it was no fairy tale last weekend. God, this story ticks me off. San Diego resident Will Kinney, he's 38 years old. He was there with his partner. I will say it does not list it here, but it was his male partner. We'll get into that in a moment. They had four of the couple's closest friends with them. Kinney and his partner and four of their closest friends and two of their children. They went to Disney World to celebrate Kinney's birthday. Well, as Kinney and the group, the friends and the children, made their way downtown Disney's monorail, it's called Downtown Disney, they were going to the monorail, they were holding hands, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, a group of Anaheim police officers and Disney security surrounded Kinney and forced him face first against a store window, pulled his hands behind his back, frisked him, searched him, and interrogated him as hundreds of other Disney guests looked on, as the children looked on, and as the friends looked on, and as his partner looked on. The security team was led by a, and I use the term loosely, woman. I prefer the term bitch-in-waiting. Deanna Van Noy, Disneyland's security and emergency manager. She accused Kinney of threatening a cast member with a gun. And in fact, this is the report she called in to the San Diego Police Department. Kenny had no weapon. None of his friends saw a weapon. None of the witnesses saw him threaten anyone. The Anaheim police left the scene when Kenny's partner, a San Diego law enforcement officer, oh, she wasn't counting on his partner being a police officer. Oh, no, no, no. He's an off-duty police officer with his partner. Well, he pulled out his badge and explained that there was a problem. There's some mistake here. Van Noy, the woman, the bitch-in-waiting, changed her story immediately. She said it changed from a cast member was threatened with a gun being held by Kenny. It changed from that to a cast member felt threatened. She was asked to clarify how the cast member was threatened. So she changed her story again to say the cast member indicated that she was offended. You bitch. This bitch had a complaint from a Disney staff employee, probably there was no other employee, it was probably just her, saw them, decided that she would call and report that he was threatening people with a gun, and reported it to the police. 3 hours later, then the woman says she still can't remember whether the cast member was threatened or felt threatened or was offended, but the gun story is completely gone. But she says, I don't know if they're threatened, felt threatened, or if they were just offended. It doesn't make a difference anyway, she added. You know, if this man, Kenny, had indeed threatened a cast member, either verbally or physically, then the police should have detained him. You know, if they had any reason to believe that Kenny had a firearm or any other weapon, you know, they should have had him on the ground. They should have cuffed him, taken him in for questioning immediately. But that just was not the case. You know, the cast member felt threatened or was offended by same-sex couples holding hand. And then that was a scene that took place. You know, the scene was several hundred Disney World Resort guests are standing around watching the police manhandle and search a GLBT tax-paying citizen of this country, like he's a criminal, a complete violation of his civil liberties. You know, feeling offended by two men holding hands does not a terror alert make. This story is very disturbing to me. This happened in California. Disney security did not clear the scene. You know, if he had a gun, Disney security didn't clear the scene. They didn't take him to a private area. Disney, in fact, created the scene, and they harassed him in full view of the guests. It was humiliating for Kenny. It was humiliating for his law enforcement partner, for the friends, and for the children. One witness was overheard saying, "Those fags are disgusting. Thank God Disney World finally did something about them." Furthermore, it gave the impression that the police were arresting a man for holding his partner's hand. Now, on top of that, Kenny and his partner and the group asked for a refund for the remaining 2 days of the 4-day passes that, you know, he and his partner had purchased. And Disney World refused, and they're refusing to apologize. This woman is saying, there was no mistake. No one made a mistake. There is no need to apologize. You know, let's say that there was a cast member had accused somebody of shoplifting a watch, say, from the Disney World store. They sell Mickey Mouse watches and all kinds of stuff. It says that somebody's accused of shoplifting a watch. Security gets called, only to find that it didn't happen. The man doesn't have the watch. The employee was mistaken. Disney World would have been apologizing all over themselves to make up for this incident. Now, you know, free passes, the whole bit. So they asked this Van Noy's woman, about a scenario like that. You know, what if somebody was accused of stealing a watch? And she says, well, yes, we would apologize. But she says that that situation is just hypothetical and she says she's not going to apologize to Kenny for being falsely accused and detained. She says, no, I will not apologize, and halted the conversation because, see, they were queers. Martin, who's a security manager for Disneyland Resort, and Rob Doty, who's vice president of communications at Disney World, said they would not issue an apology because, quote, nothing had been done wrong. Well, Disneyland changed its tune, however. On Tuesday afternoon, Kenny took his he contacted the American Civil Liberties Union and major media outlets and elected officials and demanded an apology. Now, the Disney World officials are saying they're discussing it as to whether or not they're going to apologize or not. These men were just holding hands, walking to a monorail, for Christ's sake. You know, if these two men had been black, or that's the wrong scenario. If it had been a male and a female and they were black, and this happened, this would be headline news all across the world. You know, and this is just 10 days prior to the annual Gay Days, which Melba so deftly commented on the other night. God love that woman. Disneyland needs to apologize, not to just Kenny, but the entire GLBT community. Can you imagine what would have happened if Kenny's partner had not been a law enforcement officer and showed a badge? You know, if this upsets you as much as it upsets me, I'm going to give you some email addresses, and I'd appreciate it if you'd write them down and send these people a piece of your mind. I think this whole thing is just disgusting. In the 21st century, in California, out of all places, Disney World, which is going to be having Gay Days in 10 days, this goes down from a staff member, and the staff, she should at least be in jail for filing a false police report. For crying out loud, she called the police report saying that he had a gun and he was threatening people. And then she backed down three different versions of the story until she finally admitted, well, there was a employee who was offended. The names are Rob Doty. It's R-O-B dot D-O, excuse me, I'll start over. R-O-B dot D-O-U-G-H-T-Y. At Disney.com. He's one of the security people. Then there's the bitch in chief. Her email address is DEANA dot Vannoy, which is spelled VANNOY at Disney.com. That's DEANA dot VANNOY at Disney.com. And last but not least, among the people who are refusing to apologize is another security member, who goes by the name of Keith Martin. His email address is Keith, K-E-I-T-H dot Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, at Disney.com. If you didn't have a way to write that down and you'd like to know that later, just drop me an email to Peter at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. It's Peter at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, and I'll be glad to email you these addresses after the show. Just infuriates me that, you know, the police should have arrested that woman on the spot for filing a false police report. This is just mind-boggling to me. Just mind-boggling. And to make matters worse, oh God, you have no idea what I have been dealing with in the news today. I can't take it anymore. I want a raise. Speaking of raises, you know, Bob talked earlier in the evening about helping to support the network. And, you know, we do try to meet a $2,000 a month operating expense budget. Now, none of that $2,000 goes into any of the host's pockets. We're completely self-supporting through our own contributions. In other words, we have day jobs. The $2,000 is used for the cost of DSL for one of our data lines, for T1, which is another one of our data lines, which is very expensive and very good, by the way. CityNet provides it to us. It goes for what? Software, knobs, wires, screws, diodes, blank media. It goes for 1,000 things. And I'm not asking you to do anything that I wouldn't do. Just before the show started, I sent in $50. I tried to send more this month. Things are a little tight. I could only send in $50. There was a month I only sent in $25. There's a month that I can send in more. This month I can only do $50. If you can, you know, if I've seen our streaming numbers, okay? If every one of you who listens to this show sent in $5, we could finance the freaking network for a year. Good Lord, people. I mean, you know, we believe in it, and we just, you know, and I'll point out to you too. For a very long period of time, you know, Bob and Agnes and Wayne paid for this themselves. I mean, you know, month after month they paid the cost. I mean, it's just that it can't go on anymore. You know, we need to start chipping in a little bit. I chip in, the other hosts chip in. And we chip in our time. It's just that we believe in it, and I just want to run that by you. If you can possibly, we're at about half our goal this month. I think we're around $1,000, maybe a little more, a little less, not sure. If you could possibly help out with that, we would very much appreciate it. It will go a long way toward keeping this network on the air, and in fact, even perhaps resolving the 9 p.m. evil. Maybe we could even find out what happens at 9 p.m. that nobody could figure out. It is hard to say. The 9 p.m. shut down the GLBT show. Oh, Lord, I wish I knew. But in any case, Bob and Ben and myself, and John Fox also is wasn't conferencing with us, but he was PMing me, you know, trying to help. But we all try to help with things like that. And, you know, I've dealt with computers for so long. That's you know, kind of what my day job is. I've dealt with them for so long that I realize that they are, you know, from the devil. I mean, they're all, you know, 666, 1010, 666. It's all of the devil. So anyway, we do have to some expenses. I had an email from one of our GLBT listeners today. This email reads, I picture conservative Nigerian bishops naked and dancing around a fire in a grass skirt while swinging dead chickens. Now, I love that line. And in fact, I think that's a good temperature reading of where the GLBT community is at with this story that's coming up. Now, you may think that's racially prejudiced, but I've got news for you. You know, we're not talking about the fact that these Nigerian bishops are black. We're talking about the fact they're fundamentalist assholes. Excuse my language. Jesus, you know, if you want to understand this better, walk a mile in our shoes. It's just ridiculous. Episcopal Church, we've talked about this a couple of nights, about the, you know, their... The bishops in Nigeria and in Africa specifically are you know, circling the wagons to try to keep the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church as a whole, from having gay priests or endorsing gay marriages. In fact, you know, get this: if this was happening in any other organization, Anglican leaders from Nigeria, Rwanda, and Kenya, and Uganda have, listen to this, they've consecrated bishops to oversee congregations in the United States. In other words, they're sending little, you know, spies over here to make sure that we're doing it, you know, by truth, justice, in the African prejudice way. Now, I could care less if you're black or if you're African, but you're a freaking fundamentalist. Good Lord, all evil is located there. I'm sorry, it's not the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of the Bible, you freaking literal-minded fools. So anyway, Episcopal leaders in the United States are being pressured, and Canada and elsewhere, are being pressured to roll back their support for gay folks. And, you know, the Anglican family is crumbling, they say. You know, it's been crumbling since 2003. I think, you know, they might as well give up on Humpty Dumpty. But, you know, 2003 to 2007 is a long time for something to crumble. So anyway, they say they're going to exercise restraint in approving, and this is to try to keep the church together. You know, when you value the church more than you value the individuals who are involved in it, then you got a problem. It's about us, people. It's about you and me. And they're talking about this thing about they don't want any sort of official prayers. You know, apparently Episcopal Church has things like, you know, official prayers, you know, where the church sanctions a certain prayer that you say at a certain time. Official prayers. You know, to me that just, I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, Catholics and you know, Methodists, we have like certain stuff. But, you know, official prayer, I just basically find it offensive. I thought prayer was like the, you know, the longings of the heart, you know, the whisperings of the spirit, the frustration, the sighs and moans of the human spirit as it tries to get through this freaking world. Official prayer, my gay bottom. You know, the official prayers. You know, this is the 21st century. I'm telling you, this is the world we're living in. Oh my God, do I sound a little nutty tonight? I guess we had a few technical issues before the show started, so it started off a little weird anyway, and wasn't particularly happy about the day's news, so God knows what's going to happen before before all this is over, I couldn't tell you. But in any case, the Archbishop of Canterbury, he took the step of attending meetings for the first 2 days. This is a big conference that happened in New Orleans, and God knows where they found a building in New Orleans that wasn't knocked down by the Bush administration's lack of concern. You know, this guy, this Nigerian guy, the leader of the pack, the leader of the fundies for the Nigerians, his name is Aknola, as best I can tell you. And he's the leader of the faction. He wants to seek an outright ban on gay bishops. And, you know, he's saying that the U.S. Episcopals, they have failed to explicitly bar gay bishops from the pulpit. And that meant his followers, please, have been ignored. His followers, please. You know, you're the leader. If you were leading those people, and you were leading them in the paths of righteousness, that would not be their pleas. It's your plea. You're hiding behind their skirts. You're lying to them. And a lot of people don't even know what the word righteousness means. I mean, everybody thinks, ooh, it's a biblical word. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Well, righteousness, it's just a regular word. Righteousness means, it means considered to be correct or justifiable. This is where the leader, the Nigerian leader needs to be leading them. Correct, justifiable, you know, embracing your brothers and sisters. It means... you know, righteousness also arises out of the perception of some sort of great injustice or wrongdoing. It means good. It means outstanding. Righteousness, it's just a variant of the word right, to be right. Righteousness, it's not some sort of weird religious word that nobody can understand. No need to be scared of the word righteousness. But I assure you, my friends, that the the Bishop of Nigeria, the Archbishop of Nigeria, is certainly not leading his followers in the paths of righteousness. He's saying, oh, the poor dears, their pleas have been ignored. It's your pleas. You're leading them down the merry path of hating your brothers and sisters. Jesus wept. You know, he says, instead of a change of heart, meaning the United States and the other churches, I'm sure in Canada, instead of a change of heart that we demanded, we've been offered a temporary adjustment. Meaning that we're going to, the Anglican Church is saying they're going to deal with this with restraint. And by the way, another one of our listeners in Seattle says that he's been around the Episcopal Church. He knows that the Episcopal Church, when they speak of exercising restraint, it means precisely nothing. And that he refers to the Archbishop of Nigeria as the Archbastard Asholia of Nigeria. You know, these are words being spoken from the GLBT community, and I fully endorse them 100%. He says, the Archbishop Asholia of Nigeria and his fellow swingers of dead chickens are astute enough to know that. In other words, the church is saying they're going to exercise restraint, which means we're really going to do nothing. I'm sorry, I shouldn't go on so much about... You know, the Methodist Church is just as bad, if not worse. We're about to host the Bush Library. Good Lord, people. You know, and why do I go on about religion so much? Because it is the root of our oppression. Every bit of it stems from that. I mean, a fundamentalist, do it our way, conservative religious dogma is killing us. And yes, I am very upset about it, and yes, I go on and on about it. And frankly, Madeira, I don't give a damn if you are offended when I say that the Nigerian archbishop is dancing around a campfire in a grass skirt slinging a dead chicken. The United States, one of the folks from Los Angeles regarding this from the Anglican Church says, we are not going to withdraw our support of the gay and lesbian people in the church. You know, if not now, when? You know, that's one of the problems. We need to just, you know, just stay the course right now. You know, if not now, when? After 2,000 years, it seems like it's about time we address what's going on in the GLBT community and the crap that we get from the church. And speaking of crap that we get from the church, Focus on the Family is going to lay off 30 people. Praise God and pass the catch up. This is from Pam's house blend. Pam actually posted a picture of Snoopy doing the happy dance. Bless your heart, Pam. Focus on the Family is going to lay off 30 employees and reassign 15 others. It's a downsizing. There's a drop in the projected revenue. Praise God, may it continue. You know, Focus on the Family is one of the groups that finances basically 100% of their operations by anti-gay propaganda. They are basing the layoffs. They're trying to put a spin on it. They're saying that we're going to take in about a million more than in 2005, 2006, but by the end of the fiscal year, that doesn't increase. It doesn't offset inflation. $1 million. So, you know, here again, you're voting with your prejudice and not your pocketbook. So, in fact, even the groups that you send money to further, you know, extend this prejudice and hatred of your GLBT brothers and sisters, you know, so you just ignore the Bush administration milking the cash cow. And so they're going broke, too, not to mention the new bankruptcy laws that you can't file bankruptcy and everybody's losing their home. My God, this place, you know, the toilet has been flushed, my friends. You can see the water going round and round and round, and it's not blue, it's brown. And we are deeply in it. Yes, sir, we are. Looks like we're going to come out about 8 million under the 142 million, but this is a direct contrast to this, you know, another statement. They say we're going to be taking in a million more, but in the next sentence they say we're going to be 8 million under. You know, you can't get the truth out of these people. It never does. It says the collection plate has been suffering for a number of years. Well, that's because your constituency are 80 years old and they're dying. There's no more Social Security checks to send you bastards is what the problem is. Yes, it's been suffering for a number of years. Recently, economic woes, including the housing downturn. Many denominations suggest a 10% tithe, yet most Americans give 3% unless you're on Social Security and then they send you half. It doesn't actually say that. We've seen it before, though. And here's Pam's House Blends, little dancing Snoopy happy dance. Boy, I thought that was wonderful. Yes, I did. Oh, I have some audio I'm going to run for you. Let's see. Let me tell you about this first. Remember the I told you about the NAACP showing up in paramilitary, well, no, not the NAACP, the paramilitary, the NAACP was, speaking out against Nodgel's gay toilet thing and saying that, you know, oppression is oppression. And so the fundamentalists down in South Florida, there's a group, a paramilitary group of Christians called the Koinonia, as best I can pronounce it, Worship Center. And they are going to enforce this and make, the prejudices and make South Florida another Bible Belt. They are the best friend of Mayor Nodgel. They're anti-gay, homosexually obsessed. They're calling for a spiritual revival to transform South Florida. And by the way, their MySpace page is complete with guns, audio fire, battle sounds, paramilitary uniforms. These are supposed to be the Christians. This is an outright threat to kill us. You know, if any other Christian, quote, group had gotten up in paramilitary, saying that they were going to, enforce, abortion clinics, they'd be going to jail for, threatening, well, maybe not. This is Bush America. But in any case, it's interesting that the MySpace page is gone now. Poof. It's unclear as to whether or not, this came out, I think, day before yesterday. It's unclear as to whether or not they pulled the page down or if MySpace pulled it down. But the military men's ministry, all men, mind you, no women, just all men. We are men, men, men. And they have pulled down the page, gunfire, paramilitary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, these are the people who are obsessed with water fountains. We've talked about that before. I'm not going to go into that again. I'm tired of the subject about why they're obsessed with water fountains. Those of you who listen to the show know exactly what I'm talking about. But they can't stop talking about the water fountains. This is the audio I wanted to run for you. San Diego Mayor Jerry Sanders. He showed great courage. You know, he was on record as saying he was going to oppose civil unions. He was going to oppose marriage. He said that he believed civil unions was sufficient for gay folks in San Diego. And that was his position for many, many years. But here, all of a sudden, at the very last minute, he says, "I have reflected on the choices I had before me last night." This is the day before, mind you. And a choked-up Sanders explained that it was a remarkable news conference, and I have the audio. I'm going to ask Bob to run that in just a moment. This audio has some fairly long pauses. These pauses are when he is so choked up he can't speak. There are tears in his eyes. He's trying to drink water. His wife is standing beside him with, trying to, with her hand on his back. He could not bring himself to tell an entire group of people that they were less important or less worthy and deserving of rights of marriage than anyone else. Why this change of heart? Why? And this, my friends, this is so important. This is why we need to come out to our families. This is why we need to come out to our friends. It's so important because the reason he had a change of heart was because his own daughter is a lesbian. You know, it takes that kind of, you know, it's easy to hate other folks' kids. It's easy to go out and kill other folks' kids. It's easy to go to Iraq and kill, you know, the brown-skinned people's kids. It's easy to do all that stuff. But boy, when you have one of your own, now, of course, unless your name's Cheney, of course, that's the exception to the rule. I mean, you know, Cheney, that family is so malignant. You know, she goes along and tries to help, son of a bitch. But I wanted to run this audio because I think it's very telling as to what it takes to change a mind. And so here it is, complete with the awkward pauses. This is San Diego Mayor Jerry Sanders.
With me this afternoon is my wife, Rana. I'm here this afternoon to announce that I will sign a resolution that the city council passed yesterday directing the city attorney to file a brief in support of gay marriage. My plan has been reported publicly was to veto the resolution so that I feel like I owe all San Diegans right now an explanation for this change of heart. During the campaign 2 years ago, I announced that I did not support gay marriage and instead supported civil unions and domestic partnerships. I have personally wrestled with that position ever since. My opinions on this issue have evolved significantly, as I think the opinions of millions of Americans from all walks of life have. In order to be consistent with the position I took during the mayoral election, I intended to veto the council resolution. As late as yesterday afternoon, that was my position. The arrival of the resolution to sign or veto in my office late last night please excuse us. Forced me to reflect and search my soul for the right thing to do. I've decided to lead with my heart, which is probably obvious at the moment, to do what I think is right and to take a stand on behalf of equality and social justice. The right thing for me to do is sign this resolution. For 3 decades, I've worked to bring enlightenment, justice, and equality to all parts of our community. As I reflected on the choices I had before me last night, I just could not bring myself to tell an entire group of people in our community they were less important, less worthy, or less deserving of the rights and responsibilities of marriage than anyone else, simply because of their sexual orientation. A decision to veto this resolution would have been inconsistent with the values I've embraced over the past 30 years. I do believe that times have changed, and with changing time and new life experiences come different opinions. I think that's a natural, and it's certainly true in my case. 2 years ago, I believed that civil unions were a fair alternative. Those beliefs in my case have changed. The concept of a separate but equal institution is not something I can support. I acknowledge that not all members of our community will agree or perhaps even understand my decision today. All I can offer them is I'm trying to do what I believe is right. I have close family members and friends who are a member of the gay and lesbian community. Those folks include my daughter Lisa, as well as members of my personal staff. I want for them the same thing that we all want for our loved ones. For each of them to find a mate whom they love deeply and who loves them back. Someone with whom they grow old together and share life's experiences. And I want their relationships to be protected equally under the law. In the end, I couldn't look any of them in the face and tell them that their relationship, their very lives, were any less meaningful than the marriage I share with my wife, Rana. Thank you.
Having heard it before, he could not look into his daughter's face and tell her that her life and her relationships and her love meant any less than his own blood family. And when the church finally comes around to understanding that we are all blood family made by the hand of the same Creator, whether you see that as evolution or whether you see that as God spoke us into existence, I don't care how you see it, but when you finally get it, fundamentalists, that we are all one family, then perhaps you too will weep, you freaking bastards. Ah, moving right along, the Senate Democrats are on the hate crimes legislation again. God help them, they had to attach it to the funding for George Bush's immoral war. The Senate attached the hate crimes legislation to a must-pass Pentagon spending bill. The opponents are predicting that it will ultimately fail. However, it has passed the House, and it has passed the Senate as a bipartisan vote, 60-39, so the Senate had to accept cloture. It's this is the Matthew Shepard amendment, being attached to the fiscal 2008 Department of Defense authorization. Lindsey Graham says the president is not going to agree to this social legislation on the defense authorization bill. This bill will get vetoed. You know, Bush has threatened to do that before, and it was attached to another spending bill a while back, and it's being reattached. It was supposed to come up about now, and it is. Nonetheless, the Senate agreed by voice vote with no dissension to attach the hate crimes provision to the pending defense bill. The House passed that same crime legislation as a standalone bill earlier this year, despite Bush's veto threat. And President Bush says the bill is not needed, and it could face the same vetoing that the defense authorization bills. But right now the White House has no comment at this point in time. They're saying writing violent attacks on gays into federal hate crimes laws is an appropriate add-on to legislation funding the war. Democrats argued because both initiatives are aimed at combating terrorist acts. You liar. I'll tell you why I feel that way. Senator Edward Kennedy says this too. He says the defense authorization bill is about dealing with the challenges of terrorism in our neighborhood. So we want to fight terrorism at home, meaning the terrorism against GLBT citizens, by adding us to the hate crime bill. By the way, it covers a whole list of people, just not us. It's appropriate because we want to fight terrorism at home. This is totally non sequitur. I wish that at some point the Democrats would just tell the truth. The defense bill is not about preventing terrorism. It is terrorism. We coat the country's that never attacked us. We coat their land in depleted uranium. You know, we're Iraqi women. Don't ask, is it a boy and a girl when the child is born? They ask, is it normal? Birth defects are through the roof. You know, people are maimed. Our soldiers are maimed. We're at this point, 750,000 people have died over this by a country that never attacked us. Yet the Democrats, in order to make this go down smoothly for their Republican friends, is saying the defense authorization is about dealing with the challenges of terrorism overseas, and we want to fight terrorism at home with this Matthew Shepard bill. Well, you son of a bitch. How dare you? Oh, God. You know, I'm at loss. The world is so screwed. If a politician ever stood, got up and told the truth, I swear to God, the planet would come out of alignment, and we would all go careening into the universe. I won't go any further with that. There are many other comments from many other Republicans. Senator Orrin Hatch says, absent a clear demonstration that the states have failed in their law enforcement responsibilities, the federalization of hate crimes is premature. Well, yeah. Yeah, you take any local redneck police department in any local town, like the guy that was killed in Alabama a while back, because it's documented in, they didn't take that very seriously at first. Transsexuals are killed regularly, and the defense is, but she tricked me. And so it's all right, my little straight child. You were tricked by that evil transsexual. I wish Julia was. We're going to have her soon, but transsexuals are always depicted as being sex workers, or But anyway, I've got to tell you that there is no synergy between the hate crimes legislation being about attaching it to the defense bill, saying that they're both fighting terrorism. That's an outright lie. One is fighting terrorism, the other is causing terrorism, and the only reason that it's being attached to that bill is because maybe the president won't veto it because he needs the money, cha-ching, to stay out of prison, because as long as the war goes on, he can stay out of jail. There is no synergy, there is no correlation, and I'm tired of the Democrats pretending that there is. Any questions? Call me now. Operators are standing by. 877-4 head on. That's 877-4 HEADON. Or if you have unlimited long distance, you can use 304-658-3333. Speaking of transsexuals, remember the what's his face? He was in front of at Columbia University saying that we have no homosexuals here. I don't know who told you that. There are no homosexuals in Iraq, or Iran, rather. It's interesting to note here that, while Iran criminalizes homosexuality with the death penalty, it provides sex reassignment surgery to transsexuals. And this is according to a British report. And, of course, this is not true in the real world, but it was for a while before it got even more mean-spirited. Apparently, there was a fatwa. Back in 1979, there was a religious proclamation saying that transsexuality was a medical condition that could be corrected through surgery. Now, since then, the government's authorized thousands of reassignment surgeries, The Guardian reports. Now, under Islamic law, homosexuality is a moral choice punishable by hanging, but transsexuality is, So basically, a lot of GLBT folks are going through this surgery to save their lives, because like the two kids that were hung, there's photographs of it on the internet. You get arrested for being one of them queers over there. You better say you're a transsexual and have your Johnson chopped off, or you're going to get hung. Now, by and large, most of them are hung or shot right away. Most of them never get this far, but the ones who do get that far, the government provides about $5,000 toward the cost of sexual reassignment surgery and additional money for hormone therapy. But as I say, if I were faced with the choice of having my Johnson cut off or death, at this point I don't use it that much anyway. Oh, geez, I am 53. Let's just say it's already had its walk in the woods. And, oh, Lord, the, you know, as we heard from our friend Ethan St. Pierre, he was one of our guests recently. In Iran, transsexuals are part of the homosexual family, is the way they see it. It's just not part of, you know, they say it doesn't exist there, but, you know, the phenomenon exists everywhere, all over the world. It's just disaster. We learned a lot from Ethan when he was with us a while back, and I thank him for doing that. We've had so many wonderful guests on the network. There's more details about that, but the latest counts are that the international community believes that more than 4,000 lesbians and gay men have been executed. Some of them were given the chance to change their sexuality, whether they were transsexual or not. See, that's what they're saying. You know, there's it's so complicated. It's hard to follow all this stuff. You know, when things are so fundamentally, you know, unfair, it's hard to even present some of this stuff, I have to tell you. Let's see, what time is it? It's 10:25. I guess I've been rambling on for, now it seems like I went on about what? I guess 9:40. I guess I've been rambling on for almost an hour. I think what we should probably do is go ahead and run the top of the hour news, which is not top of the hour, but hey, it's one of those nights. It's a free for all. So we're going to go ahead and run the news. And when we come back, I've got a dance track for you and some more news. And thanks for sticking around. I'm glad you waited out our little technical glitch. And so as we go to the break.
This is the Quality News Network. At a Paris news conference, an Iranian resistance group claimed today that Iran is 6 months away from completing a new secret military nuclear facility under a mountain linked by a 3-mile-long tunnel to an already known uranium enrichment plant. The group sent their findings to the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna and is awaiting a response. Cinnamon robe monks, nuns, and other protesters were fired at by troops with automatic weapons in Myanmar this morning. 9 are reported dead. Elsewhere, monasteries were raided and more monks were hauled away in military trucks. Soon the soldiers were outnumbered, however, as hundreds of thousands of Burmans surrounded them, demanding the monks' release. Many governments have called for the crackdown to end. The U.S. will impose economic sanctions against the country once called Burma before the military took over in 1989 and renamed it Myanmar. Japan and the U.S. froze aid and banned imports previously in 2003. The Chinese tried to block the U.N. sanctions discussed yesterday, saying Burma's problems are domestic. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says that he'll likely approve an army proposal to spend close to $3 billion extra to expand the U.S. active duty force at a faster pace. He said recruiting will pick up, but standards would not be lowered. Yesterday, Gates asked for an additional $42 billion to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan for fiscal year 2008, which begins on Monday. Some of the money will go to buy 7,000 armored vehicles. The total requested is $190 billion. At their presidential campaign debate last night, the three Democratic frontrunners said that they could not pledge to a troop pullout during their term if they should win. Those same candidates, Obama, Clinton, and Edwards, have been criticizing President Bush for not bringing the troops home. In Iraq, 3 days of battles have killed more than 70 and wounded at least 80. 20 insurgents have been arrested. President Bush signed legislation today that increases the amount of tuition assistance available to poor and middle-class students. He said the bill helps them earn a college degree. The black teenager, whose prosecution in the beating of a white classmate prompted a huge civil rights protest in Gina, Louisiana last week, has been freed on bail. This afternoon, the Reverend Al Sharpton showed up as well, and the prosecutor said that he will not seek an adult trial for the teen. His trial as a juvenile will take place in December. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
NASA's Dawn spacecraft launched from Cape Canaveral this morning. It's hurtling toward the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, 1.7 billion miles away. New research reveals that more than three drinks a day increase the risk of breast cancer in women by 30%. A Norwegian study says divorce rates increase if one partner is diagnosed with either testicular or cervical cancer. The report shows no similar effect from other types of cancer. Boeing and Airbus are splitting the largest aircraft purchase ever made by British Airways. Boeing reaped two-thirds of the order with 24 787 Dreamliners. Delivery is expected between 2010 and 2014. Daimler is introducing an extra tiny micro-compact car next year. It's 8 feet long. Drivers will be able to park it nose to curb. Smart will be out in January for about $12,000. The Chinese manufactured toy recalls have become a boon for American-made toys. From the Whittle Short Line Railroad made in Colorado to the classic Slinky made in Pennsylvania, manufacturers are reporting sales increases of 300 to 400%. U.S. stocks stayed in positive territory today as analysts said the Labor Department's report helped shake off recession worries, in spite of the slow housing market reports this week showing 7-year lows for new homes and 5-year dip in existing home sales. At the close on Wall Street today, the Dow had gained 35 points, 13,912. Oil is up 258 a barrel at 82.88. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome back to the last half hour of Strictly Confidential. Toll-free line is 877-4-HEAD-ON, and email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. We're having a discussion in the chat room about lyrics of a dance track. I love the chat room. We're discussing whether I could be your or I could feel it. Anyway, yes, I know the track. We're going to run it. And so we use it as a bumper. The track is actually by Waterfront Home, and it's called Take a Chance on Me. It is not the ABBA Take a Chance on Me. It's not even a remake of ABBA Take a Chance on Me. It's an entirely different song by Waterfront Home called Take a Chance on Me. There are many records and many places to go. I want to share this with you, and it's General Peter Pace. He's clarifying the remarks he made on gays in the military. This is from our friends over at SLDN, Service Members Legal Defense Network. We've had them on and as guests, and he said, dated September 26th, he says, "Are there wonderful Americans who happen to be homosexual serving in the military? Why, yes," Pace says. "We should respect those who want to serve the nation, but not through the laws of the land should we condone activities like that." Now, listen carefully. "In my upbringing, it is counter to God's law." Notice, upbringing, what he means is in my worldview, in my experience. "I would be very willing and able and be supportive to change policies to continue to allow homosexuals to contribute to the nation without condoning what I believe, in my worldview, to be activity, whether it be heterosexual, that he had just had to throw this, or homosexual. I just wonder what heterosexual behavior he disapproves of. I'd like to see that all listed down. He says, but in my upbringing, here we go, worldview, that's just not right. Now, if you recall the other evening, I was going through a long rant about homophobia, with the reasons behind the hatred. We left off, by the way, we left off with loss of control. We were talking about what's so important to the homophobes. At first, it was we talked about us. Well, we talked about so many things, but to summarize this portion of it, as you hear my papers flying around in my little notes, I had to mark where we left off. We talked about us versus them. That means if you give up, if you give any rights to a new group of people, you're losing rights yourself. In other words, it costs me my rights to give you your rights. That's one of the logics. Loss of control, because, you know, these people are very concerned about being able to control their environment. We talked about dominant, submissive behavior in other species, like, you know, if the primate wants a banana, he will bite the other. You know, it's got to do with control. And but you see, we never got to this part, and this is directly related to Peter Pace. Peter Pace being a homophobe. He said, in my upbringing, it's counter to God's law. And then he said, that in my upbringing is not right. Okay, so what this is a portion that we did not get to. It is a threat. People are homophobic because it is a threat to one's worldview. You see, when somebody's had the same old idea and they've held on to those ideas through their whole little sordid lives, and you get to be an old fart like Peter Pace, you know, somebody who says they're wrong is very, very threatening to them. You know, it's the whole notion of, you know, the old-time religion, it's good enough for me. Well, you know, it represents the fundamentalist attitude and the homophobe attitude just perfectly. You know, they go back to the roots. It's very difficult to accept the fact that you have been wrong all of your life. You know, if a gay person comes along, a lesbian, a GLBT, our whole rainbow, if one of the rainbow flags comes along and says, hey, look at me, I'm a productive, contributing member of society with values and ideals. I'm just different than you. That poses a huge threat to someone like Peter Pace, who's believed all of his life. You know, this is what he said. He said, my upbringing says that's not right. He uses the word upbringing twice. In other words, his history, his worldview. You know, it's very threatening to them. You know, all their lives they have believed, you know, that GLBT folks are perverted and miserable and lonely people and have short, desperate lives, you know, swiping children from school buses. And yet, so the whole AIDS epidemic comes along, and it forced thousands of GLBT people to come out of the closet. And, you know, it was suddenly revealed that stereotype wasn't right. That by and large, you know, we're just like, you know, everybody else. People are beginning to find that out, except it's still not presented that way on TV. But, you know, so it's an emotional reaction. It's not a real threat. It's just an emotional reaction. And I just thought I'd point that out. It's something we didn't get to when we went down the homophobia thing. By the way, I'm going to continue with that homophobia. And I'm also going to do some discussion about the reasons that gay marriage is so threatening. But right now we're just talking about homophobia. I'm not going to continue with that tonight. But I did want to bring up that threat to one's worldview as to why Peter Pace feels the way he does, and so many people do. It's not easy. You see, and I get that. You know, I'm 53 years old. I've had 53 years to get used to the idea of being gay. Well, I guess I didn't realize it until I was 5 or 6, so you track 5 or 6 years from 53, and that's how many. So I've had a long, long time to think about this and mull over it and basically get over it. Now, you know, a lot of people, it's hitting them pretty fast. It takes a little time to rethink things. So I get it that, you know, there's sticks in the mud and that they don't understand and they don't want to, you know, to accept anything that's against their worldview or their upbringing. But, you know, how long do we have to put up with it? You know, how much longer do we wait for these people? You're not going to get over it until it's in your face. You've proven that time and time again. When we shut up, you know, it's business as usual. You know, we get, well, you know, business as usual. We're not shutting up anymore. I'm sorry if it upsets your worldview, but such is life. Worldviews change. You know, we're getting pretty tired of waiting for people to die, to get old and die, just so that their worldview goes away. You know, there's no question that, you know, GLBT folks are going to have their full rights and responsibilities, and, you know, American society, all the other countries are doing it. The young people say, what's the problem? But, you know, it's getting pretty old waiting for those in power to go home to their maker. Not that I'm threatening anyone. Not that I'm threatening anyone. By the way, our production chat tells me, remember I thought I was going on about that, the paramilitary KKK Christians called koinonia, or whatever it was. Bob tells me that is a Greek New Testament word, and it means partnership. And it's used to describe church members' relationships to one another. In this case, it is a paramilitary relationship. And, you know, and as long as these people continue with this, their worldview, that's the worldview they pass on to their children. And so, which is why it's important to have some kind of education, which they're desperately fighting against. You know, how do I explain this to you? You know, basically, being gay is a huge pain in the butt. It really is. You know, no, don't mean that literally. What I do mean, though, is, you know, nobody in their right mind would choose to be gay. It's just, it's huge. Everything is, I mean, it's just astronomical. What's stacked up against you? You're talking about changing people's worldviews, and anybody thinks the choice is absolutely insane. I would sooner have my right arm chopped off than, you know, than choose. But then again, if I had it all to do over again, I wouldn't change anything. I'd just, you know. Let's see what else kind of news we have. It's a new HIV medication out there. You gotta love the name of it. They're calling the new medication is by Pfizer, and basically what it does is it's a new antiviral that, you know, many of the others prevent the virus from replicating. Although this new one prevents it from entering, prevents the HIV virus from actually entering a white blood cell. It blocks its entry route, and which is, you know, entirely new way to treat it. But what you gotta love is what they called it, and because it blocks the entry, into the white blood cell, you see, and so it's called cells entry. Get it? Entering the cells. It is spelled CELSENTRI. Oh God, that's clever. Cells entry. You know, you gotta laugh. This is a new big. I mean, it's wonderful that, you know, the new medication is there, but, you know, it'll cost $1,000 a month for people to be treated, and the people who are desperately needed, in the like the Nigerians who are dancing around with their dead chicken beating up the gay folks, they're going to need it desperately over there, and they won't be able to afford it. And, you know, the world is so screwed up. Tell you what we're going to do. There's a track I wanted to run. I've been meaning to run it for several nights now. It was sent in to us by Alex Natick, and he was our expert on Italo disco, and I'm dedicating this to Peter Pace, to the paramilitary preachers, because if there was ever an in your face gay track, this is it. It is Italo disco by Ken Laszlo, and it's called Hey Hey Guy Falling in Love Forever. And there you have it. Hey, hey, guy, falling in love forever. That's from Alex Tikkun, who sent the wonderful collection of Italo Disco that we'll be running from time to time. And that was a wonderful interview. Let's see. I should point this out now. The studio doesn't know this either. This is new information, and I would have covered it earlier. But just prior to the show, I've been dealing with an email exchange with one of my clients. They're having some problems, and I'm going to need to go into their office tomorrow. I'm not sure how long it is going to take. There is the possibility that I will not be able to do a show tomorrow. I am going to do my very best to wrap it up and come back and be here in time to do a show. This has nothing to do with our little technical problems. It's just something that came up prior to the show. They are going to a new online association database company, and it's a huge transition, and there are some issues. And so I'm going to go and see what to do. That all came up just prior to the show this evening. And I want to throw this in. It's getting fairly toward the end of the... But I want to tell you about this. I don't know if I... In fact, I'm fairly sure I did not get a chance to cover this, but just recently there was a huge convention sort of a thing down in the Tampa area. Tony Perkins was there. Gary Bauer was there. It was at the Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Bradenton, Florida. You may not recall this, but Bell Shoals was the church that led the mean-spirited campaign to shut down the Hillsborough County Gay-Straight Alliances. So this church has a history of bashing. The workshops were let's see, Don Wildman was there. We all know he's the American Family Association guy. A whole list of evil. The summit workshops, they were homosexuality and youth, homosexual agenda, defending marriage, what's at stake, homosexuality in the ministry, community decency was one of the topics. This is all going on because there is going to be an attempt to put a no gay marriage amendment in the Florida ballot coming up soon. But I wanted to tell you, I'm so proud of one of our L's in the rainbow, one of our L words, one of our lesbian friends. She done us proud. She stood up and she showed those people without being a jerk. She completely shut them down. It's just amazing to me. This was in a room that had about 120 people there, and it was I think it was the second day of this hate fest. The session was pretty much their B-list speakers. There was a law professor from Jerry Falwell's university. There was the associate director of the Center for Constitutional Litigation and Policy. There was the vice president for policy at the Family Research Council. There was the president of the Florida Family Policy Council. And they were, you know, talking about, you know, getting petitions, you know, the getting enough signatures for the gay marriage ban in the Florida ballot. They went on for a couple of hours, you know, and it was like a standard presentation, lie after lie after lie, and anti-gay bashing, and quoting science that really isn't silence, science taken from the, you know, the Dutch study, which we talked about the Dutch study when we did the how to write an anti-gay pamphlet in 8 easy steps, or was it 15? 15 steps. We've talked about some of these things. If you've been listening to the show, we've talked about so many things, and we shall talk about many more. They went on to say that, you know, they love their children, talking about adoption, but they have horrible childhoods, and on and on and on and on. But in any case, after this rambled on for about an hour, hour and a half, they finally opened it up to a town hall meeting so that the people who were listening could talk. And the second person who stood up was a very brave lesbian, bless her heart. She was wearing a red T-shirt, and she shut them down. This is what she said. She said, "Hi, my name is Kathy James, and I would like to challenge all of the individuals here listening today to really take a look at some of the rationale and some of the comments that speakers have given in regards to things such as why government gets involved with personal relationships, that is, for the procreation of children. I think, as most of your attorneys will tell you, that civil marriage was created for one purpose only, and that was property and how to divide property. And so I'm a lesbian. I live in the Riverview area with my partner of 13 years and our son who is 7. And I go to work Monday through Friday. I attend church weekly. I volunteer at the school. I volunteer at the Homeowners Association. And I am having a hard time understanding why you are interested in keeping a legal framework from us in being able to handle the same things as heterosexual couples and such things as visitation to the hospital, and how to divide our property the same way that you divide your property, and how to parent our children. Our child, actually, she referred to her specific child as our child, how to parent our child, meaning her and her lover. There was a stunned silence. They were just stunned. A fellow named John Steinberger thanked her for coming and tried to stammer out an answer, and he said that some forms of discrimination are perfectly legitimate. Homeownership benefits society in the way that renters do not, but he ended by saying marriage uniquely benefits society in a way that same-sex couples do not. But she didn't back down. She said she remained firm, she remained calm. She said, but in what way? What is the difference in benefit? How does your marriage benefit society more than my relationship with my same-gendered partner? Well, Peter Sprigg jumped up, and he was going to assert. He said, without question, he said, the best family structure is headed by a man and a woman. But Kathy did not back down. Bless her lesbian heart. She said, but now you're devaluating what over 50% of the children who live with one parent, or that one parent has died, or that they're divorced, and now they're just living with one parent, you're devaluing them. So that's not fair. So now the panel was just pretty much speechless. Now Peter Sprigg started stumbling around, saying each person's relationship choices serves an example to the rest of society, and if that example becomes widespread, more people will make the same choice, har, 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 and more children will suffer. And so she said, so you're saying a man and a woman in a marriage are valued higher than single people? Well, she was starting to state another sentence, but Sprigg cut her off and said it was obvious that he was completely outwitted. And he started reading from a book called The Future of Marriage, and he went on and on. As he read, his voice became more strident and more angry and sharper with each word. He said, I would be rich if I had a nickel for every time somebody who knows almost nothing about marriage has told me that marriage is about property. And so anyway, she caused a fairly major meltdown just by remaining calm and just by asking the questions. Now, there were people whispering in the background as she tried to talk. There were people whispering who said, there were some people protesting out front. She said, they were saying, like, well, you think those lesbians are going to come in here? Those queers are going to... And then, these are the people in the audience before she spoke. So, I just wanted to share that to you. I'm very proud of her. She calmly and rationally got up and managed to maintain and ask them questions that pretty much shut them down. I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to reschedule Julia Serrano. We were diagnosing things here at the beginning of the show, and so I told her on the phone I'd have to get back with her and talk about open dates tomorrow, but we will definitely have her back in the show. I do very much want to talk to her. I have a surprise for you. I have the agreement of a heterosexual cross-dresser to appear on the show. This is kind of a difficult... I'm very pleased to have him join us. We haven't set the date yet, but we'll be setting it soon. This is a fairly difficult type of guest to have on a show because, a lot of heterosexual cross-dressers don't necessarily want to come out and talk about it. So as we explore things...